Know the World's Tomorrow, number 34.
Thank you. to sing these good old songs. And we just thank you for this time, and thank you for bringing the Seabolts to us safely. And we just pray that you would bless this day and all that we do. And we pray that each person here would be edified with the preaching of the Word, and that we would all get out of it what you have for us this morning. And use Brother Seabolt, use him to be a blessing to each one of us this morning. We'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The major announcement I have for right now is, usually we wait until the end to do this, but it's part of the announcements too. Brother Lance Gottwald's birthday is this week, and as you know, he's been experiencing a lot of difficulty. From my understanding, he's going through rehab now, and that has created even more pain than he already had, so it's still working out, but it's going to take him some time to recover from the surgery he had. And so let's pray for him. Anyway, there is a card over here on the organ. And so if you would like to write a little note of encouragement to him, as well as wishing him happy birthday, that's what that card's for. And I'll be mailing that tomorrow. So that's the major announcement I have for right now. Let's sing number 78, Victory in Jesus. That's 171. I'm in the Lord's army. Children's classes, and they can now be dismissed.
to head downstairs. While they're being dismissed, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We've spent quite a bit of time on this passage. We began in verse 8. We have now reached the final verse of the passage that I would like to cover as a Sunday school class, and that's verse 15. So, why don't we say all the verses together, Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 15. All right, here we go. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. All right. Trust you've gotten a blessing out of studying this passage. I know I have. All right, Brother Siebold, turn it over to you.
Good morning. Sir. Amen. That's good. I'm glad you're here. And it's good to be back home. And so this is not your home. Well, where two or three are gathered together in the Lord's name. This is home. This is home. I was just saying to a young lady earlier this morning that as we travel, I make reference and mention of this place for various reasons. Primarily, one is the singing, the music. We don't find this. I'm saying this. We do not find this. We've been in 280 churches. This past month, not the 208 churches this past month, but we were in 28 churches this past month, and singing is like one of the reasons you all sing so good, not because of your voices, but it's your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth's going to speak. And I found the Lord, a rich man am I. And so because of what's dwelling inside your hearts, gives you the capability to sing the way you do. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. If somehow I could get a voice recording of you singing and taking it to some of these churches, it would be an enthusiastic event for some of those churches. Some of the folks have the idea that once they hit 50 or 60 or 70, whatever age you want to put there, that, well, I'm old, I can't sing no more. Well, I think you can, amen? I think you do an excellent job of it. Some of the words may not always come back, but thank God they do come back. What was I told Mom when I left the seat, I said, remember the song, because I think we might want to sing it again if I can get the young man to come to the piano. Can you come to the piano again? And it's called Victory in Jesus. It came back while I was just talking. Victory in Jesus. At snow camp, we do snow camp. We've done snow camp now for, I'll say, 40 years. And the first song that we sing at snow camp is Victory in Jesus. It's a tradition. Okay, I heard the old story. You got it?
It's number 78 in the chorus book.
Victory. Savior came from glory. By the name of the Lamb on Calvary.
To save a wretch like me.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word God. And so that was implanted. You probably have some experiences where you maybe, you know, an aunt, uncle, cousin, brother, somebody talked to you before you got saved. Then you didn't get saved when they talked to you. But they did talk to you. Sometime I'll tell you more about my brother, but he is a religious fanatic. That's good. You can say that's good. Any place, anytime, anywhere he goes, he'll talk to somebody about the Lord. And he stands outside Cleveland. I don't know what the gymnasium would be called out there in Cleveland, but LeBron James plays there.
Quicken Loans Arena.
Okay. But he's out there passing out the gospel tracts to the players, spectators, cheerleaders, whatever else they got out there. Not bashful, not shy. And he's a couple years older than I am. So you can take a guess. It's ancient. But he's still out there doing that. And so we need to continue as God's army getting the gospel message out to the lost and dying world. Here this morning, Thanksgiving is coming up, is it not?
Yes.
Thanksgiving, first thing that pops into your mind, turkey. No, first thing that pops, I just want to praise the Lord.
Right.
I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord.
Amen.
You can sit around and criticize the saints, but I came to praise the Lord. And so we need to have a body of believers that we have here. And I'm asking God to take the body and the philosophy of the body, the mindset of the body, and take it to a higher level, if you want to call it that, or to a further level to keep it going. We need to have some folks behind us. Thank God for the young couple sitting here. I got to go to Paul. Thank God for a young couple sitting here. Thank God for a young couple sitting here. Otherwise, you're going to be insulted. I call this old man, the dear wife, a young couple. Okay, so I just keep going around saying a young couple. But I thank God for that. But we need to raise up more young people. But some of that is a culture. Allow me to say that. But some of that is a culture for that. Church is important. Church has always been important. But it's never been recognized by the generation, my generation, generation behind me, and the generation, I should say before that. But we need to have that. So that when folks get saved, they're not in the dark. You know, I told them, you know, they have no idea. You know, Bible verse, Bible reference, Bible title. They don't have any idea of that. And I stand here before you as a an old man that suffered because of it. I mentioned the Presbyterian Church. That gave me a little bit. I went to a Lutheran Sunday school class with my mother. That gave me a little bit. But it didn't give me enough. And I got saved when I was 21. And God worked in my heart and in my mind. But I'm sure wishing that I could have heard it when I was young. And so we need to build up a generation alongside of us. Amen. In front of us. Behind us, whatever sequence you want to put them in. But we need to have more folks like you folks standing without apology for the old time gospel. And your singing manifests that. The other thing I would say to you this morning before I get going here. What am I looking for? Give me a guess. What do you think I'm looking for?
A track.
You got the idea. Never leave home without one. Okay, I'll never leave home without my wife. I told you this before, but one time my grandkids were down and I had to go out and get something, and I went by myself. And my middle-aged daughter, she's probably like 50 right now, she said to Mom, "Mom, you're not letting him go out by himself, are you?" I mean, sure, that's the way she said. I went, and I had specific instructions on how to follow that. All right, let's get to business here. We're going to do just this idea of being thankful. Being grateful. We have lost, again, I'm saying that as a people, this attitude of gratitude. It's indicative of an ungodly culture where there's a lack of gratitude. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to say thank you. I may have mentioned it sometimes when you're in different places at different times, but my oldest daughter, she was schooled with the idea, I told this story. Yeah, with the ice cream. Hey, you remember that? Okay. She was schooled with the idea of saying thank you. And she's still doing that. And she's got her kids doing that. And she's got her grandkids doing that. And there's a couple of great grandkids for mom, right? Doing that, saying thank you. And God needs to hear our thank you. And so there are seven Bible verses we're going to look at this morning that have to do with our gratitude. You know, we think of Thanksgiving on turkey, football games. And the very spiritual word is hogwash. Turkey's nice. I won't say anything about football games, so forth and so on. We have lost. Let me go ahead and say something about football. When somebody can make a living by carrying a dead pigskin stuffed with a bladder, pumped up with hot air for 100 yards, are we making any friends here, Mom? I look back there, she's got her head down, she's praying. She's going to say to me later, Rev, you really didn't have to go there with that. I mean, there are some Dallas Cowboy fans here or whatever, I don't know. Ooh. I said the wrong thing. But we need to have, that's peripheral, that's on the outside. If you never saw another football game again, would you cry? If you never had another opportunity to come to church again, would you cry? Yeah. This poor man cried, obviously. We need to learn to cry once again. I preached on Thursday night at a missions conference, and I said to the people, and I realized, if we don't maintain this, we're not going to have that. If we don't have that local fundamental Bible believing God, love, and devil hate the Baptist church. We don't have this. When the missionary wants to go to the field, who's going to support him? You. We need to have this so we can have that. And we've been enough around in the Northeast now to know that some of these missionaries, when they're coming home, are coming home to closed doors. Inactivity in the church. What once was ain't no more. And so we need to keep this so we can get the mission report from some foreign land. We need this so we can have that. That's called this and that. We need this so we can have that. If I don't keep walking down rabbit trails, we'll never get any place here this morning. I wrote down here in my notes, ingratitude is the mindset of a heathen nation. Ingratitude. We need to be a nation, a people, a church, a congregation, assembled together, just filled with thankfulness. We do not need to wait to the third Thursday of November or something to say, okay, this is Thanksgiving. It ought to be every day, Thanksgiving Day. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Neither were thankful. But because they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened, neither were thankful. That's a sure sign of an ungodly people. When we're thankful, that's a sign of a godly person. That's a sign of a person who appreciates what God's done for them. I'm pausing and looking at you to kind of evaluate how thankful, from your singing, I'm saying you've been thankful, you've expressed your thankfulness, and that's what the lost and dying world needs to know. How full of gratitude you are, how thankful we are for what God's done. And don't lose it. I've been saved for 50, we've been married for 53. How long have we been saved? 53? In around that neighborhood? I've been saved for a long time. Amen? And I don't want to lose my gratitude, don't want to take it for granted. I want to think and let God know how thankful I am for being saved. And how much better I am. There's no comparison. The life before salvation to the life after salvation. Mm-hmm. You may have thought you had it good before you got saved, but just think how good you got now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this goes on forever and ever, and it gets gooder and gooder and gooder and gooder. And gooder and gooder, and there's no end to it.
Right.
I'm going to heaven. Can't wait, man. Going to see Jesus. Can't wait. Heaven's wonderful, bright, and fair. What? Praise the Lord, I'm going there. I'll be there forever. Amen. Thankfulness is a sign of a godly group of people. I'm going to have you turn your Bibles. Second, that I'm going to run through these somewhat quickly, but not that fast. But the rate I'm going, we'll be here until supper time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I just want to thank you, Lord, for your family. That sounds strange. And that type of thing. I just want to thank you, Lord, for your family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You will notice we say what? Brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family. And so this Thanksgiving Sunday before I want to just thank you, Lord, for your family. You might say, this is my family, but this is your family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family. You'll notice we say, what, brother and sister around here? It's because we're a family, and these folks are so dear. We need to express the fact we love one another. We appreciate one another. We respect one another. We're comrades for one of another. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you. Brethren, as is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly in the charity of every one of you, all toward each other abideth. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Charity is a concept of love. And I trust that there's never been a time and never will be a time when somebody gets upset with somebody else. Okay? Some people may have made that lifestyle a lifestyle of getting upset one with another. Without being cognizant, without being aware of the idea. Days go by that I never get upset with Mrs. Seymour. She never gets upset with me, and I can understand because I'm perfect. But days go by that we don't get upset with each other. Weeks go by, we don't get upset with each other. You can play back a recording of the conversation and dialogue. I'm going down the wrong road. So what? I just got to make another turn to get on the right. It's the way it ought to be, folks. The two became one. And as such, there's got to be that spiritual camaraderie there. And I thank God for that family. Family. I've heard people say, oh no, my mother-in-law's coming. Kick you in the shins. Thank God your mother-in-law. If it wasn't for your mother-in-law, you wouldn't have your wife. If I got that relationship correct. Yeah. You better say to your mother, I love you dearly because I love your daughter dearly. And by that path, I will come to you, my mother-in-law. But by that path, we need to have that. Gratitude is a sign of a spiritual people. You got that idea? It's the gratitude that's effect. You can't help yourself. It's just a natural phenomenon. Yeah, when I'm hungry, sometimes my stomach growls. I don't say growl, but my stomach is hungry. And there's some natural phenomena that we have as Christian folks. I cannot not like you or love you. All right? It's not because you're so likable, because maybe you're not. But God has said, I'm glad, and I want you to be glad that you're part of this family. I've seen it in too many churches where you have the section of A over here and B over there and C in the back, and I'm not talking to you because you didn't come. You know, you're supposed to bake a cherry cheesecake and you bake the whatever. Oh, no. My wife has never cooked a meal that I didn't like. If I didn't like it, I'd never tell her. Amen. So your lady's looking at your husband and say, well, take note of that. One, I thank God for his family. And you and I are part of his family. So we need to thank God for his family. Daniel chapter 2, verse 23. Hope I wrote down the right reference, but we'll go with it. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 23. I just want to thank you, Lord, for your family, and I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I just want to thank you, Lord, for your wisdom, for God's wisdom. I just want to thank you. We're time of year of gratefulness, thankfulness. See that? What did I say? Time of the year. This is something that can be preached on 4th of July. This is something that can be preached on September the 21st. Whatever it may be, we ought to be this type of people. I just want to thank you, Lord. I thank thee, the verse says, and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might. I just want to thank you, Lord. I'm trying to figure out how to say this gracefully. But you may not be as smart as you think you are. But with God and God's wisdom, if any man lack wisdom, what's the Bible say? They never ask. They don't ask of God. And so with that capability, I could pass every test that I took. I didn't know that Bible verse when I was dating Mrs. Seaborn. I thought it said, anything you need to know, ask your girlfriend. She was smart. Extremely smart. I was on the other end. I was dumb. Extremely dumb. But if you want to be happy, remember, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, make an intelligent woman your wife. You all remember that. Amen. You guys need to remember that. Remind your wife every once in a while that she's the brains of the outfit. Some of you macho men say, I'll never tell my wife that.
No.
Good thing you're not a mind reader, because I will not reiterate what I was just thinking. Thank God for His wisdom. And that wisdom is part of the family of God. We ought to be thankful for the intelligence that God's given you. Hey, help me out here. What nation do you think has a higher IQ per capita? Is there a nation that you would say would have a higher IQ? I don't have an answer to this. I'm just asking what your general opinion would be.
It's not America.
Huh?
It's not America.
It's not America. You don't think America has?
No. I think China has higher.
China?
I think China is higher than ours.
Think so? Just ask the question. Now we got an answer. We're not going to start a feud or debate over or anything else like that. But all right. Second Corinthians, if you would. I dropped that one like a hot potato. I'm German and English. I thought that was going to be the winner. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. I want to thank you, Lord, for your victory. Isn't it good to be on a winning team? I don't know how many star athletes we have here, but if your team came in first place, everybody got that first place trophy. You may have never played in a game. You may have never played with some events, but you got a trophy. And we're with God's people. And I'm glad we march. I'm a Christian soldier marching. I'm glad that we're marching together. Because sometimes your strength is not sufficient. Or my strength is not sufficient. But we put it together, we have strength to beat the devil. Jesus is always on our team. He always gives the strength that we need to be victorious. The devil's done a good job to defeat Christian folks, to make us feel like we're on the losing team. We're not on the losing team. Our team has already been declared by God victorious. And we need to get out of the shell of intimidation. I have found of late, probably because of my age, but if I want to hand somebody a gospel tract, most of the time, they're taking it with gratitude. But I'm not handing it to them in a spirit of, my God's a great God and worthy to be praised. And so if we have that mindset, I'm not worthy to be praised. You're not worthy to be praised. But God is. And you are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you hand somebody a piece of literature, gospel tract, whatever it may be, amen. I told you about my lighthouse picture. I'm still drawing the lighthouse picture. Just this past week, because for some reason we got to go out to dinner with one of the ladies from church and so forth and a couple other people. And I sat down and drew the lighthouse. And the waitress came by and said, that is nice. Can I have that? And John 3:16 on there. Now, when you hand them a piece of printed gospel tract, they're not so like, can I have that? It doesn't usually run that way. But she took the tract. Well, the next day, we went back to the restaurant, just mine and I. And she was over on the other side. And so she comes running over. Hey, you know what? That lighthouse you drew? I left it here. And I forgot it. And I was on my way home. And I turned all the way around to go back and get the track. Now, she wasn't professing Christ. She said she was already saved. But she was going back to get that, to have that, because it wanted to mean something to her. We're not on the lower end of the humanity scale. Born again Bible-believing Christians are on the top end of the humanity scale. There's nothing wrong with your thinking because you're a born again Christian.
There's nothing wrong with your thinking because you know you're on your way to heaven because the Bible says you're on your way to heaven. There's nothing abnormal about you. Those who have rejected the truth of the Word of God, they're abnormal.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Would we agree on that?
Yes.
We may do some things that are abnormal, but we are not spiritually, emotionally, intellectually. We're not abnormal. I want to thank you, Lord, for the victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be to God. Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. I'm on the victory side. I trust you are there as well. I just want to thank you, Lord, for your healing. For your healing. Help me out here. We'll take a vote. Have you been spiritually healed? Amen. God took care of your sin sickness. Amen. Unfortunately, there was some damage, as in your physical health, that was done prior to your salvation. But thank God He healed you. Thank God He cared about you. And Luke chapter 17, verse 15 and 16. I promise to read it this time. Luke 17, verse 15 and 16. One of them, when he realized he was healed, when he saw that his body was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down at his feet, giving thanks. Now, there's both physical healing and there's spiritual healing. I'm glad there's more working in my body than is not working. I'm glad doctors tell us that when I kick the bucket and I'm on my way to heaven, that the chances are well that I have had cancer twice in my lifetime. Statistically, from a medical point of view, I've had it and I don't have it. I had it and I don't have it. We're talking about an average. We're not talking about me personally per se. But the average person has some form of cancer twice in their lifetime. Can I prove it? Can't. I heard it from a doctor program. Isn't that good? I like that statistic. Anytime I think I've got a pain someplace I shouldn't have a pain, you're going to go to heaven, you'll have cancer twice. Once, twice, I'm going to heaven. But sometimes we worry about things we don't need to. Thank God for His healing power. Every morning, take care of my leg. I told you about my flesh-eating bacteria and all that kind of stuff years ago. And I still have it. I thank God for His healing. And many other times in your life. I'm looking at you. You look pretty healthy. Not as healthy as you'd like to be. I'd like to meet the person in here who does not have a complaint about their physical condition. The older you get, the more we talk about it. You're waiting in the doctor's office, and it's on a retirement community. You're never going to get in there because these two people are just going back and forth. They get in the doctor, and they've got to listen to it. I remember taking my mother to the doctor, and I can see the doctor now going, and my mother would go back in ancient history, you know. Anyway, thank God that He has healed you. Isn't that something? You say, well, I must be on the third time of this cancer concept. Maybe so. But face it, somewhere along the way, this machine is not going to keep on going.
Amen.
Amen. And for the born again Christian, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. My granddaughter took a trip to where?
Mexico.
Who? To Mexico. To Mexico. Now, prior to their going, somebody bought them a ticket. Somebody paid for the ticket. And they were excited about going to Mexico. I'm going to heaven, I said it before. Can't wait. How excited ought we to be? She knew that Mexico was a real place, and she was anxious to get there. She saw some of the pictures, the beautiful water, and wherever they were going in Mexico was luxurious. She saw all that, and she was excited about going. Do you think heaven might just be a little bit better than that? And I'm saying, in what I've seen around this part of the country, we've lost the reality that heaven's a wonderful place, filled with mercy and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. It's heaven. It's a wonderful place. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of it. Can you imagine what it would be like if you never grew old and you had to stay here for another 100 years? I mean, you know, you say, well, my body's wearing out. That, you know, that the 100 years would just, it would kill me. But I mean, if you stayed healthy, don't you think you've had enough of this? And don't you look forward to what you got coming?
Yeah.
Amen. And we need to remind ourselves every once in a while of that. Because this is good, being in God's house with God's people. But it's gooder to be with the Savior. It's gooder to be in glory. Don't rush the washing machine. Don't rush it. Okay? You're still in the machine. You may be in the spin cycle. You may be in the agitation cycle. That's for husbands and wives before they get there. They got that agitation going on. Let's look at another verse. Psalm 97. I just want to thank you, Lord, for your holiness. Psalm 97, verse 12. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. This morning, many of you put on clean attire. Clean shirt, nice tie, whatever. And I don't want to get it dirty. I don't want to get it dirty. So I put a covering on, a sweatshirt. I don't want the shirt, don't want this tie to get dirty. Now what do I do to prevent that? Go underneath the motorhome and change the oil? It doesn't work that way. Some of us, because of where we live almost, have a hard time staying away from the dirt. There are some parts of a town or parts of a county or parts of a state that are a little bit cleaner than other parts. We do well if we stay out of those parts. We don't want to get dirty. Ma, give me that song about dirty.
Clean.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask you to sing. Just, you can sing it, but just tell me the words.
There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I'm clean.
You understand that? God's washed us. We're clean.
Right.
Positionally. Practically, we need to say, wait, you didn't notice a stain over here, did you? You didn't notice a spot over here. But there's nothing too dirty that God can't make clean. We remember that because there's a lot of dirty people around. Would we? You might want to say there are a lot of, just because the culture has gotten dirtier. You live next to a factory where all the systems out, you don't hang your laundry out on the line because it's going to get dirty again. Well, my timepiece is everything. I'm done. Do you have any idea who my timepiece is? Sitting in the back. This means you're getting close. This means that's why I don't wear a watch. things. It's right there. A spiritual culture is what we need. Some have tried to have that little island or that little spot in a town or something where just Christian folks are allowed to inhabit it. It's never succeeded. We've all sinned and come short of glory of God. Practically, that's us. Positionally, there's nothing too dirty that He can't make worthy. That's position. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the few moments we have together. Thank you for the Bible here that loves you, wants to serve you continually. May many of the precious souls be saved because of the lighthouse and the light burning bright of the gospel of Jesus. Bless the after service we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.